You're listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominey. Out Loud Bible Project is on a mission to read the entire Bible out loud in a conversational and approachable way, so you can recognize your part in this conversation between you and God.
Hey, welcome back to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast. Mike here. Thanks for joining me here. We're just reading the Bible. We're kind of having a conversation with it and about it. And the whole point is to try to find our next best yes in our relationship with God. It's a conversation, this relationship. He loves you. And if you haven't thought about that, if you've not been told that in a while or ever, I hope it's clear. God loves you, and he made you just to be able to have this relationship. I know a lot of things make it difficult to feel like that's the case, and some of it's our own fault, some of it's not. But God wants this relationship with you where you open the word, and he speaks to you, and we can listen to him, and through what he's already said, and through what he wants to share with you today. And I hope you get to take a step closer to that today and ultimately find out what's he asking you to do. Not that you need to do anything to earn his approval or favor or anything, but he just loves this family business that he made here. He made this earth and gave us roles and responsibilities and authority. And so what does he want us to do in this? It's going to be slightly different for every person. Ultimately, we all have the same calling of becoming more like Jesus and helping others do the same. But how specifically do we do that? I don't know. That's between you and him. And so that's some of what we can find here in this conversation with God as we read the Bible. We are reading in the book of Numbers here, and it's been a good continuing of the story of going through the wilderness. Remember, we're calling this whole series of the podcast The Wilderness as we look at Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all the way from God releasing his people Israel out of slavery, leading them through the wilderness and toward the promised land. Once already they got to the promised land and they then lost all of their faith. They thought it was impossible because of who was occupying the land. So God cast them back out into the wilderness for 40 more years. And that's where we're finding them now. They're still wandering around. They're encountering all sorts of obstacles. And we can find ourselves in this same sort of season in the wilderness between the what used to be and where we believe God is leading us and where he's promised. But we're not there yet. And what do we do in this wilderness season? What can we learn about ourselves? That's what we're learning about here in the book of Numbers 22 through 24 today, three chapters of the book of Numbers. Sometimes Numbers is very, well, numbery, and just a lot of names and numbers. Sometimes it zooms into some interesting stories that we can pick apart, learn from, and read together. And today is one of those days. We get to zoom in to a story that a lot of people are familiar with the fact that it happened, maybe not familiar with all the details around it. We're going to talk about Balaam today. So let's check it out in Numbers 22 through 24. The children of Israel traveled and encamped in the plains of Moab, beyond the Jordan at Jericho. Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. Moab was very afraid of the people because there were many. Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said to the elders of Midian, "Now this multitude will lick up all that's around us as the ox licks up the grass of the field." Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time, and he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river, to the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "There's a people who came out of Egypt, and they cover the surface of the earth, and they're staying opposite me. Please come now, therefore, and curse this people, for they're too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall prevail, that we may strike them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed." The elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. He said to them, "Lodge here this night, and I'll bring you word again, as Yahweh shall speak to me." The princes of Moab stayed with Balaam. And God came to Balaam and said, "Who are these men with you?" Balaam said to God, "Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has said to me, 'Behold, the people that has come out of Egypt covers the surface of the earth. Now come curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to fight against them and shall drive them out.'" God said to Balaam, "You shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed." Balaam rose up in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, "Just go to your land, for Yahweh refuses to permit me to go with you." The princes of Moab rose up and they went to Balak and said, "Balaam refuses to come with us." Balak again sent more princes, more and more honorable than they. They came to Balaam and said to him, "Balak, the son of Zippor, says, 'Please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will promote you to very great honor, and whatever you say to me, I will do. Please come, therefore, and curse this people for me.'" And Balaam answered the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I can't go beyond the word of Yahweh my God to do less or more. Now, therefore, please stay here tonight as well, that I may know what else Yahweh will speak to me." God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men have come to call to you, rise up, go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do." Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab. God's anger burned because he went, and Yahweh's angel placed himself in the way as an adversary against him. Now, he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. The donkey saw Yahweh's angel standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, and the donkey turned out of the path and went into the field. Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the path. And then Yahweh's angel stood in a narrow path between the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. The donkey saw Yahweh's angel, and she thrust herself to the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he struck her again. Yahweh's angel went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, either to the right hand or to the left. The donkey saw Yahweh's angel, and she lay down under Balaam. Balaam's anger burned, and he struck the donkey with a staff. And Yahweh opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you should strike me these three times?" Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you've mocked me, and I wish that there were a sword in my hand, for now I would have killed you." The donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you've ridden all your life long until today? Was I ever in the habit of doing so to you?" He said, "No." Then Yahweh opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw Yahweh's angel standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell on his face. Yahweh's angel said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I've come out as an adversary because your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned away before me these three times. Unless she had turned away from me, surely now I would have killed you and saved her life." Balaam said to Yahweh's angel, I've sinned, for I didn't know that you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I'll go back again." Yahweh's angel said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but you shall only speak the word that I shall speak to you." So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. When Balak heard that Balaam had come, he went out to meet him to the city of Moab, which is on the border of the Arnon, which is in the utmost part of the border. Balak said to Balaam, "Didn't I earnestly send for you to summon you? Why didn't you come to me? Am I not able indeed to promote you to honor?" Balaam said to Balak, "Behold, I've come to you. Have I now any power at all to speak anything? I will speak the word that God has put in my mouth." Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kiriath Huzoth. Balak sacrificed cattle and sheep and sent for Balaam and to the princes who were with him. In the morning, Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, and he saw from there part of the people. Balaam said to Balak, "Build here 7 altars for me, and prepare here 7 bulls and 7 rams for me." Balak did as Balaam had spoken, and Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bull and a ram. Balaam said to Balak, "Stand by your burnt offering, and I'll go. Perhaps Yahweh will come to meet me. Whatever he shows me, I'll tell you." He went to a bare height. God met Balaam, and he said to him, "I've prepared the seven altars, and I've offered up a bull and a ram on every altar." And Yahweh put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, "Return to Balak, and thus you shall speak." He returned to him, and he was standing by his burnt offering, he and all the princes of Moab. He took up his parable and said, "From Aram has Balak brought me, the king of Moab from the mountains of the east. Come, curse Jacob for me. Come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? How shall I defy whom Yahweh has not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him. From the hills I see him. Behold, it's a people that dwells alone and shall not be listed among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob or count the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his." Balak said to Balaam, What have you done to me? I took you to curse my enemies, and behold, you've blessed them altogether." He answered and said, "Must I not take heed to speak that which Yahweh puts in my mouth?" Balak said to him, "Please come with me to another place where you may see them. You shall just see part of them and not see them all. Curse them from there for me." He took him into the field of Zophim, to the top of Pisgah, and built seven altars and offered up a bull and a ram on every altar. And he said to Balak, "Stand here by your burnt offering while I meet God over there." Yahweh met Balaam and put a word in his mouth and said, "Return to Balak and say this." He came to him, and he was standing by his burnt offering, and the princes of Moab with him. And Balak said to him, "What has Yahweh spoken?" He took up his parable and said, "Rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, you son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he won't do it? Or has he spoken, and he won't make it good? Behold, I've received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I can't reverse it. He has not seen iniquity in Jacob, neither has he seen perverseness in Israel. Yahweh, his God, is with him. The shout of a king is among them. God brings them out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of the wild ox. Surely there's no enchantment with Jacob, neither is there any divination with Israel. Now it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what has God done? Behold, a people rises up as a lioness. As a lion he lifts himself up. He shall not lie down until he eats of the prey and drinks the blood of the slain." Balak said to Balaam, "Neither curse them at all, nor bless them at all." But Balaam answered Balak, "Didn't I tell you, saying all that Yahweh speaks I must do?" Balak said to Balaam, "Come now, I'll take you to another place. Perhaps it will please God that you may curse them for me from there." Balak took Balaam to the top of Peor that looks down on the desert. Balaam said to Balak, "Build seven altars for me here and prepare seven bulls and seven rams for me here." Balak did as Balaam had said and offered up a bull and a ram on every altar. When Balaam saw that it pleased Yahweh to bless Israel, he didn't go, as at the other times, to use divination. But he set his face toward the wilderness. Balaam lifted up his eyes, and he saw Israel dwelling according to their tribes. And the Spirit of God came on him. He took up his parable and said, "Balaam, the son of Beor, says, the man whose eyes are open, says, he says, who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, falling down and having his eyes open. How goodly are your tents, Jacob, and your dwellings, Israel. As valleys they're spread out, as gardens by the riverside, as aloes which Yahweh has planted, as cedar trees beside the waters. Water shall flow from his buckets. His seed shall be in many waters. His king shall be higher than Agag. His kingdom shall be exalted. God brings him out of Egypt. He has, as it were, the strength of the wild ox. He shall consume the nations, his adversaries, and break their bones in pieces and pierce them with his arrows. He couched, he lied down as a lion, as a lioness. Who shall rouse him up? Everyone who blesses you is blessed. Everyone who curses you is cursed." Well, Balak's anger burned against Balaam, and he struck his hands together. And Balak said to Balaam, I called you to curse my enemies, and you've altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore, flee to your place. Now, I thought to promote you to great honor, but Yahweh has kept you back from honor. Balaam said to Balak, didn't I also tell your messengers whom you sent to me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond Yahweh's word to do either good or bad from my own mind. I'll say what Yahweh says. Now, behold, I go to my people. Come, I'll inform you what this people shall do to your people in the latter days. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam the son of Beor says, the man whose eyes are opened says, he says who hears the word of God, knows the knowledge of the Most High, and who sees the vision of the Almighty falling down and having his eyes open. I see him, but not now. I see him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob, a scepter will rise out of Israel, and shall strike through the corners of Moab, and shall crush the sons of Sheth. Edom shall be a possession, Seir his enemy shall also be a possession, while Israel does valiantly. Out of Jacob shall one have dominion, and shall destroy the remnant from the city. He looked at Amalek and took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but his latter end shall come to destruction. He looked at the Kenite and took up his parable and said, your dwelling place is strong, your nest is set in the rock. Nevertheless, Cain shall be wasted until Asher carries you away captive. He took up his parable and said, alas, who shall live when God does this? But ships shall come from the coast of Kittim. They shall afflict Asher and shall afflict Eber. He shall also come to destruction. What a fascinating story that is. Did it strike you how God was angry with Balaam for going after God gave him permission to go? What does that tell us? Well, we got to go back to the heart, right? What did God tell him in the first place? He told Balaam in the first place, don't go, don't be with these people, don't do this thing that they want you to do. And Balaam still entertained them and said, well, you know, okay, maybe tomorrow it'll be different. Balaam was expecting God to change his mind, and he kind of kept expecting God to change his mind or to get a different result. And it finally took the third attempt at prophecy and blessing to realize, wait a minute, God doesn't change. God's command hasn't changed. I'm not accountable to anything else but God. And I don't need to go through all of these divinations. I don't need to go through all of these routines and rituals to hear from him. He's already spoken to me. Let me just lift up my eyes to heaven and open my ears and be ready to hear and receive what God tells me to say. And shouldn't that be our lesson today? Where we even read in the Bible what God has said. But then we struggle and be like, oh, God, why aren't you talking to me? Or God, why? What do you want me to do? He's already told you what to do. If God's put something on your heart to say or do to another person, that feeling isn't going away. It's not going to take another context or circumstance maybe to see if God changes his mind. And if we're trying to go through all of these different channels of trying to hear from God, but we're not actually looking to heaven and opening our ear and leaning into him, then we're going to keep finding ourselves frustrated and delaying the blessing of God. Interesting thoughts from Balaam. That's today's Thinking Out Loud thought for the day.
You've been listening to the Out Loud Bible Project podcast with Mike Dominy. When you become a patron of Out Loud Bible Project, you help make the Bible accessible for people who desperately need to know they have a role in this conversation with God. To learn more, visit outloudbible.com and click Support This Project. Thanks for listening.